Eric Metaxas here. Please join me in a life-saving mission to set Sudanese slaves free through Christian Solidarity International. Since 1995, CSI has freed more than 100,000 women and children from years of bondage and abuse. Your $250 gift frees, feeds, and heals these captives and sets them on a path to a new life in freedom. Please help us free another slave now. Call 888-253-3522, 888-253-3522, or click the CSI banner at MetaxasTalk.com, MetaxasTalk.com.
Hey, you there. You can't ignore me.
No one can ignore me.
I'm Todd the announcer, and Eric lets me do his announcing. I'm always right there by his side to loudly announce everything he does.
Even things like coughing and sneezing.
His wife hates it.
And now, Eric Metaxas.
Thank you, my friend. Hey, folks, have we got a subject for you? I'd love to know. We're not doing a call-in show today, and yet I would love to know what those of you who are listening think of this subject. The subject is whether one ought to pull one's kids out of America's public schools. There is a book by two authors, Mary Rice Hassan and Teresa Farnan. They're going to be with me for this hour to talk about their new book. It's called Get Out Now, Why You Should Pull Your Child from Public School Before It's Too Late. I've spoken many times on this program about the toxicity of, you know, the culture in which we live. And unfortunately, that's the situation in the public schools. So if you, as a parent, and I, as a parent, we send our kids off to school. What are they learning? What's the culture of that environment? It's supposed to be in loco parentis, right? The whole reason you have a public school, you pay taxes so that they can teach your kids because you can't, because you've got a different job, right? And they're supposed to be really doing what you want them to do, frankly, okay? You're paying your taxes. This is not like some government bureaucracy that gets to tell you what education is. They're supposed to be doing a job that you've hired them to do by paying taxes. And as we know, that's not the way it works. So the two women to whom I will talk in a moment are Teresa Farnan and Mary Rice Hassan. Teresa teaches at the St. Paul Seminary in Pittsburgh. She's taught philosophy at the Franciscan University of Steubenville, which is what I call an actual Catholic university, not a fake Catholic university like Georgetown. She has many, many other credentials, which I won't read now. Mary Rice Hassan is the Kate Byrne Fellow in Catholic Studies at the Ethics and Public Policy Center in Washington, D.C. Wow. She was the keynote speaker for the Holy See during the U.N. Commission on the Status of Women in 2017, and she's written for The Federalist and on and on and on. And I am thrilled to have Teresa Farnan and Mary Rice Hassan on the line right now. Welcome to the program.
Thanks so much, Eric.
Thank you, Eric.
Now, this book is a very dramatically titled, Get Out Now, Why You Should Pull Your Child from Public School Before It's Too Late. I have myself made the case, generally speaking, that this is how I feel as well. But you take an even stronger stand. So let me ask both of you, and you can talk as you like. What is it that led you to this dramatic moment to not only write a book on the subject, but to write a book that takes such a dramatic stand on this issue?
You know, Eric, both of us are in positions where we're talking constantly to parents around the country. And we were hearing sort of a lament with parents saying, my child who is now in college or is a young adult no longer goes to church, or they've become so progressive in their ideology, and they're leaving behind the values and the beliefs that we were trying to train them up in. And so we've both been hearing this, and we started digging in because there's been a lot of focus on the radicalization that's occurring on college campuses, you know, towing our kids leftward. But what we found out was that the data shows this occurs in elementary school and then in high school, that we're losing our kids so that they're lost by the time they're moving on to college. So parents need to look at what's happening, the impact on our kids' faith, the growing confusion over gender and sexuality, the lack of understanding of American history, much less commitment to American ideals. So that was part of the just the personal impetus, just these conversations we were hearing from people just saying, in spite of our best efforts, this is what's happening.
Well, I guess I want to say that, you know, we all sort of know that this is true. Those of us who take our faith seriously, whether we're Orthodox Jews, Christians who are evangelicals or Catholics, the point is, if you take your faith very seriously and you have a biblical sexual ethic and on and on and on, we know that in this day and age, the culture has gone mad. They don't even postulate that we are wrong. They have declared it and moved on, and they are sprinting in an opposite direction. So that's the culture. But to say that this has come into the schools to the extent that it has, and you're saying that, and I believe it, that's actually dramatic. How is it that public schools have gone from being, you know, the one-room schoolhouse where they had a picture of George Washington and they taught about virtue? How did we go from that version of the public schools to the current version of the public schools? What happened? What are the things that happened?
Well, Eric, I would add this is a process, even though it seems like for so many people who went through the public schools, they have this warm memory of an education that was not at odds with their faith. This has sort of been in the works from the time of the philosophy of John Dewey, who was a pragmatist. He pushed a very experiential, pragmatic style of learning that was intended to disassociate children from the influence of their parents and embark them on this independent investigation where there's no objective truth.
So okay, so let me hit pause here to say that there are a lot of people listening who aren't really familiar with John Dewey. I don't know much about Dewey except to know that he's guilty of what you've just said, that he's one of the seminal bad guys in this story. And so when did he live, and why were his ideas adopted? Now, we've all heard of the Dewey Decimal System in the libraries, so he's made that minor anodyne contribution. But the point is that he was a large figure. And when did he live, and when were these ideas accepted?
Sure, absolutely. Dewey was a professor of education. He was also a philosopher. My background is philosophy, right? So I'm always interested in the philosophical angle here.
And I'm talking, this is Teresa.
This is Teresa, yes. So Dewey lived around he was very active in the 1920s up to the 1940s. And he was a philosopher, but he also taught in education. And if you look at the philosophy of education that permeates our public schools, he is revered as really the father of modern education. And so he's had this very outsized impact on how our children, how they learn, what the schoolhouse looks like, where it's peer instruction, the teacher is there to facilitate rather than teach, everything is emphasized on experience. And if you notice, education sort of cycles through fads. All of that being said, the big concern here is that because of his influence as a pragmatic philosopher and because of the pragmatism that permeates the public schools, public education has become aggressively secular.
Okay, now, so when you say pragmatism, we all have some sense of what it means to be pragmatic, to be practical, but you're talking about pragmatism as a philosophy.
As a philosophy, which really insists that there's no objective truth. And so when you engage in moral reasoning, and this is one of the subjects we touch on in the book in the chapter on social and emotional learning, our kids are encouraged to make moral decisions through a consequentialist lens, meaning the criteria for whether or not they do something or whether or not something is considered wrong or right, there are two criteria. Number one, the opinion of their peers, so their social group, and number two, the consequences. And throughout it all, because of the aggressive secularism of public education, teachers are not supposed to bring in the concept of objective truth. And so right there, right away, in public education, you have a moral formation that is going to diverge sharply from any kind of Judeo-Christian or any kind of faith-based moral formation.
I mean, it's a staggering thing when you say they're not supposed to bring in objective truth. It's an insanity. 1 + 1 = 2. Beryllium is different from lead. There's objective truth in some of the disciplines. We're going to be right back, folks. This is a very important conversation. This is the Eric Metaxas Show. We're talking to Mary Rice Hassan and Teresa Farnan about whether you should pull your kids from the public schools immediately. Stick around.
Let's change direction and I'll have to leave. Won't you please excuse my frankness, but it's not.
My business is at stake because the government told me I can't live out my faith in the workplace.
I was arrested for handing out the U.S. Constitution on my college campus.
A state law is forcing me to advertise for abortion.
Hey, this is Eric Metaxas. Our fundamental freedoms are under attack. But the good news is Alliance Defending Freedom is on the front lines providing free legal services. They're arguing some of the most critical cases in our courts today and protecting your freedom and the freedom of your children and grandchildren. But they can't do it without your help. Go to MetaxasTalk.com right now, MetaxasTalk.com, and click on the Alliance Defending Freedom banner. Your gift of $100 would help ADF defend your freedom and provide the necessary resources to fight these pivotal court battles. And thanks to a matching grant, your gift is doubled when you give now. Click the Alliance Defending Freedom banner at MetaxasTalk.com. Or you can call 800-556-2770. That's 800-556-2770.
Gold is a better way. Gold is a better way. Gold is a better way.com. Imagine doing business with a company that seeks to add massive value before asking for your business. Hi, my name's Adam Baratta. I'm the co-owner of Advantage Gold and the author of the now national best-selling book, Gold is a Better Way. This book may not be for you, but if you're like most people, you'll be blown away when you learn why gold is set to soar to over $10,000. And as a bonus for hitting the bestsellers list, I've been gifted 250 copies from my publisher. If you have an IRA or 401k with over $100,000, I want to send you a copy of the national best-selling book. You can buy it on Amazon or go to Barnes & Noble or be among the first 250 people to reply. Just text the word bestseller to 49776. That's bestseller to 49776 to claim your free national best-selling book now. That's the word bestseller to 49776. We promise to add massive value before ever asking for your business. Just text the word bestseller to 49776.
The following is not an actor, but a real-life story from Trinity Debt Management.
It's probably been about 10 years ago. I had quite a few credit cards. The interest on the cards was really high. I was making the minimum payments, but barely. And it was just getting to be too much, so I called Trinity.
If you're in debt and you need help, call Trinity at 1-800-990-6976 to talk to a certified counselor.
They met with me, and they were able to get all of my credit cards in one lower payment.
Trinity will consolidate your accounts into one easy-to-manage monthly payment, put a stop to late fees and over-limit charges, reduce your interest, and possibly improve your credit score. You'll save thousands.
They did help me learn how to manage my money. Now, you know, we have a house, and we're doing a lot better.
If your debt has you down, call Trinity at 1-800-990-6976.
My name is Holly, and I am debt-free for keeps.
1-800-990-6976.
Alvin,
whoa,
wake
whoa,
up.
Huh?
Wake up, Alvin.
Oh, boy.
You know, I told you, my pillow, it's so successful at getting people to sleep that even by bringing it into the studio, you fell asleep.
I
I'm
did.
Telling you, get it out of the studio.
Oh, yeah. Okay,
this is
okay.
Not a place to sleep. If you want to sleep, sleep at home. Folks, this is what's happening with my pillow. It's so successful at getting people to sleep that it, I think, is dangerous. Anyway, the point is, if you want to go to sleep, Mike Lindell, the inventor of this dangerous, powerful thing called MyPillow, has a special offer for you, Eric Metaxas Show listeners. He's now offering you a buy one, get one free. Right now, if you're looking for a great night's sleep, it would be the perfect time. Call 800-978-3057. 800-978-3057. Use the promo code Eric or Metaxas, or you go to MyPillow.com and use the code Eric or Eric Metaxas. But remember, these are powerful. You need to respect them. Okay? MyPillow.com. Use the code Eric or Metaxas. Check it out.
Hey, folks, it's Eric Metaxas' show. I'm talking with Mary Rice Hassan and Teresa Farnan about their new book titled Get Out Now, Why You Should Pull Your Child from Public School Before It's Too Late. And Mary and Teresa, welcome back.
Thanks so much.
This is such an important conversation to try to understand how this all happened. So you're talking about John Dewey, the philosopher, who had an outsized influence on the American education system. And part of what he brought to the equation was this idea of pragmatism as a philosophy. In other words, we're just going to talk about what is. We're not going to talk about what ought to be or what should be or what is better morally. We're not going to do that.
Right. And we're seeing that, Eric, even in terms of the departure from science. So one of the game changers for us as we looked at this and looked at what parents are facing in the schools is the transgender agenda, which has just come in and is permeating the school culture, not to mention in many cases changing the rules in terms of bathrooms, in terms of participation in athletic teams and use of pronouns and all that sort of thing. But what's happening there is that our children are being instructed that what they learned about the human person, that you're born male or female, is not true, that there's what really matters is whether a person identifies as male or female or non-binary or something else, and these genders are multiplying. So that's it's a pragmatic view in the sense of saying, well, what's happening? People's feelings are taking them here. That's what we go with. There's a departure from scientific truth, which tells us that every cell in your body is either male or female. And it can't change, even if you have surgery or take hormones. But our children are being taught to disregard that and to go with someone else's feelings of what's true. But our kids are drawn into that, you know, this kind of magical thinking. They have to participate in that.
Well, this goes way, way, way back. In other words, I remember C.S. Lewis in The Abolition of Man, I believe it was in that book, that he begins the book with a discussion of this very thing. And so I guess he was writing this in the 40s, but this had already taken root in England back then, that children had begun to be taught differently, and it was more about feelings and less about what is actually true. It's that somehow your feelings can trump the reality. So it's like we've moved beyond materialism. It's mm-hmm. There's irony here, right? In other words, you have, and I'm just guessing that this traces all the way back to the Romantic movement, but something happened in the 19th century, and so this goes way, way, way back. But you're telling me that it finally took hold in American education with John Dewey.
Well, and Eric, I would add, I guess the question you.
Sorry?
Teresa?
Have we lost
one
of our people? We'll try to get them back now.
I'm so here,
so meanwhile, Mary, you can leap in.
So one of the issues here is that parents, along with John Dewey's philosophy, is this idea that what happens in the family and is sort of separated. So parents, as we're looking at these radical changes in the public school where kids are being taught that, you know, if they're born male or female, well, that doesn't necessarily mean anything. You have to figure out your feelings, is that parents are being fenced out. And so I'll really relate a little incident. A friend of mine was telling me that she was volunteering at her public school during playground duty. Her daughter was a kindergartner, and her daughter was one of those girls who was a tomboy. She just wore T-shirts, shorts, rough and tumble, and all this stuff. And yet she knew she was a girl. But one of the teachers came over to this mom and said, well, we can see your daughter's exploring her gender. We are trying to support that. In other words, they were pushing her to identify more with the boys, as opposed to saying, you're a girl who likes to do rough and tumble things. And so if that mother had not been standing there, she would never have known this push that her daughter was getting. She pulled her daughter out.
That is staggering. And I want to say, you know, to my listeners that basically this is a good example of why the thesis of your book, and I know we have Teresa back, the thesis of this book, Get Out Now, Why You Should Pull Your Child from Public School Before It's Too Late, is apt. Because when you describe a situation like this, my blood boils that a teacher would mm-hmm. dare to cross that line and to dare to impose his or her morality on my child. That's unacceptable. And frankly, there's a great irony here. The separation of church and state dictates that that ought not to happen. In other words, that
right.
my faith is supposed to be sacrosanct. And so when you have the government in the form of a public school teacher stepping in and imposing his or her faith view, or you could say lack of faith view, whatever it is, it doesn't matter. It's a faith view on my child. That is actually unconstitutional.
Right. But what's happening here is they cover themselves by saying, first, all this stuff comes in most easily in all the anti-bullying programs. If you're doing an anti-bullying program, you got to teach kids all about LGBTQ kids and all the definitions, gender identity, gender expression. But then what happens, and this is written into the school regulations, excuse me, now of many schools, where they say specifically that because many LGBTQ children are not accepted at home, the school needs to be the gatekeeper, the protector, to shield that child and not reveal anything that's going on at school, if that child is showing some gender confusion, not reveal that without the child's permission. So this is really being written in with this creating an assumption, really, that parents not only can't decide what's in the best interest of their child, but they can't be trusted.
Right.
And that the school yeah. has to be in that role.
You know, because we only have an hour, let me cut to the chase. This is satanic. When I hear that bureaucrats who do not love our children are presuming to step in, to push the parents who in many cases half kill themselves to feed these kids and to clothe these kids, to take care of these kids, to change their diapers, to love them. When those people are being pushed out because some bureaucrat has been given the authority to do that, we are at a dramatic impasse. And so I want to underscore the title of your book is Get Out Now. I mean, I think the problem for a lot of people is, how do I get out? The public school is free. Where do I go? I mean, I think this is why so many people have pushed for school vouchers and those kinds of things.
Yeah, Eric, one of the things that we're sort of running into is that when we say this, we do get that response from parents, what do we do? And I just want to, this is Teresa, I'm back. I just want to emphasize that this is a communal problem. If you're a pastor and you're listening to this broadcast, look around at your church. Those kids in your congregation are being aggressively evangelized in this secularism. And so it's no wonder we see the numbers of millennials who practice their faith dropping, and the numbers with the next generation, the iGen, Generation Z, it's even lower. And so the responsibility, while I as a parent have a responsibility for my own children, those of us who are listening who don't have children or who are in positions to help marshal some resources and try to come together and think of creative solutions, it's on everyone. If you're involved in a church, you need to look around and try to find a way to educate your young people.
Well, I mean, you can have a this is the whole thing, is that I know so many people, and these people to me, they are heroes. They are homeschooling their kids. It blows my mind that they can do this. But then you find people that are homeschooling their kids, and they don't seem to be as amazing. And you think, how are you doing it? And then they tell you, well, we have different ways to do it. There are other families in the neighborhood or in the town who do this. And so the idea that you yourself have to homeschool your kids, there's a whole network with all kinds of resources. So that's a very real option. I think a lot of people aren't aware of that.
Exactly. Right, and that's one thing I would emphasize here is that homeschooling today is radically different from what it was before because of the internet, because of the availability of co-ops, because it's just much easier to accomplish. And it's no longer kind of the fringy thing that it was maybe 30 years ago or something. So I know parents who are working full-time who are homeschooling, but they do that collaboratively with others. But I guess the real point I want to make here, Eric, is that there's a cost to education.
Right.
No matter what you do. Now, it might be a financial cost if you choose a private school. It might be a time cost if you're homeschooling. But there's a cost to the public education system when we're looking at these results.
The results are so dramatic. We're going to go to a break here. They're so dramatic. I want to come back to this because we've got to count the cost. Stick around, folks.
Stocks and options trading involves financial risk and is not suitable for all investors.
Hey guys, it's Scott Bauer here, CEO of Prosper Trading Academy. Are you looking for a super hot stock tip? Here at Prosper, we are always looking for exciting opportunities in the markets. And right now, all my students are salivating over this stock we are watching. In fact, I've got this hot stock written down right here, and I'm about to text it to you for free. I just need to know where to send it. Simply text HOT to 48542, and I'll text it to you instantly. How do I know this stock is so hot? Well, I'm a former CBOE market maker for Amazon Options, former vice president of Goldman Sachs, and I have over 25 years of professional trading experience. I'm telling you, this stock is hot. But be warned, the stock may move soon, so you need to claim it before it does. Text HOT to 48542, and I'll text you this hot stock instantly. Text HOT to 48542, and I'll text you this hot stock instantly. Message and data rates may apply.
Imagine a politician saying this today. I have wondered at times what the Ten Commandments would have looked like if Moses had run them through the U.S. Congress. That is a quote from Ronald Reagan. He showed us through his life, his faith, and with his words that Judeo-Christian values and principles matter. You can help spread the legacy of Ronald Reagan, and you can do it by getting a Reagan email address. Right now, if you have a Gmail, AOL, Yahoo, or other big tech company email address, you help them market their service with every email you send. In return, they scan your emails and target you with unwanted advertising. Well, thanks to our sponsor, ReaganPrivacy.com, you can instead share the Reagan name with every email you send, and they won't scan your emails. They'll leave you alone. Get an email address you'll be proud to own at ReaganPrivacy.com. Your very own personal private email address is available to you at ReaganPrivacy.com. Get your Reagan email address right now at ReaganPrivacy.com.
Hey there, folks. It's the Eric Metaxas Show, and we're talking about a new book called Get Out Now, Why You Should Pull Your Child from Public School Before It's Too Late. The authors, Teresa Fernan and Mary Rice Hassan, on the line. This is so dramatic. You were talking about the cost, and the cost is, you know, if you ask somebody, hey, is the salvation of your child or is the development of your child into someone whom you would be proud of and excited about watching as an adult, is what is that worth to you? That's the question. And I think when people say, well, the public school is cheaper, you really have to wonder, is there a way to afford to send your kid to a private school that's seriously religious or to homeschool? Because what you're describing, and I know this is true, we don't have the time to go into all the horrific details, but it is monstrous what public education in America has become.
Right, sure. You know, the thing is, Eric, you only get to do childhood once with each one of your children. You don't get a do-over. And so one of the first things you have to do as a parent is educate yourself. I mean, my kids are in a parochial school system, and there's financial aid available. The schools want students. They've been very good about working with students and with families in terms of helping people to come up with new and creative ways to afford education. So the first step for any parent is to educate yourself. But keep in mind, you're right, these costs are huge. And we quoted in our book Chester Finn, who is a professor of education, and one of his comments was that, you know, as Americans, we tend to think our own public school is doing a great job, and yet we know cognitively that public education on a whole isn't even doing that well academically.
Well, but his point was, another story.
his point was that even in the suburban schools, if you look at how our schools stack up internationally, we're still falling behind. So in educating yourself, take a realistic look at the education your child's getting. So in addition to the moral deformation that they're getting, and I call it deformation because we're supposed to morally form our children, but they're morally being formed against our beliefs, against our faith. So in addition to that, they're not even getting the spectacular education that we're being promised and that the schools assure us that they're getting. And we know that by testing.
And Eric, I would add to that that people sometimes will say, well, I know the teacher or I know the principal. You know, I know these people. I can trust them. And what they have to realize is that teachers and administrators are wearing a straitjacket. They may be a person of faith. They're not allowed to show that.
Right.
So I don't know if you heard the news about, I think it was Alabama, they're now going to have the U.S. motto, "In God We Trust," in some of the school districts.
Right.
And the problem is you can have that motto, and that's a good thing, but if a child turns to a teacher and says, "Who's God?" or "Why do I trust him?" the teacher cannot answer.
Yeah.
And they will be sued. And this is one of the driving forces of why it's not possible to sort of wait it out and hope that the schools are going to recover while your child's going through it, is because the litigators on the other side are dead set against loosening their grip on public education. So they are fighting tooth and nail over all the transgender stuff. Any sign of God squeaking in there, whether it's a football coach kneeling on a field or simply posting the Ten Commandments or anything like that. So parents need to educate themselves about what the reality is. It's not the same public school you remember. And that's what the first part of our book really goes into, giving people an accurate picture of that. And then the second half, we have a question and answer section that really talks through some of these harder issues where parents are saying, yikes, what do I do now?
Right. And I want to add to that. I think as Christians, especially, we have this idea that we are expected to be salt and light for the world. And we put that expectation on our children. But if you take a minute and look at it realistically, how many of us at work are willing to go out and stand up against marriage redefinition, for example? Very few, because the costs are so high. So then turn around and think about your child in school. It's unrealistic to put that kind of burden on your child. And if you do, then they have a target on their back where they're known as the person who is, you know, against marriage equality as it's presented in the school. So the culture there is just so oppressive, and it's really, I think, unrealistic for us as parents to expect our children to take these courageous stances that we're not willing to do at work.
Well, that's exactly right, and there are very few kids who are able to do that kind of stuff. People ask me, where should I send my kid to school, to college, you know, and I think it's the same kind of thing. Your child is going to be indoctrinated in most colleges. You need to be aware of that, that if you're not sending your kid there as a kind of missionary, someone who understands what they believe and wants to be vocal about it, you're sending them into a den of lions. And that is certainly the case in the public schools. It is horrific. And I think that this is it's dramatic because I think we're in a kind of civil war at this point. The idea that parents would have to take a dramatic step like this, it's a big deal. But I think it's time to make this declaration that unless things change, and they're not going to change soon, we ought to take our kids out of public schools.
Right. And realize, too, the political reality is legislators have been doing the minimum as far as things like vouchers go. And part of it is because they haven't had to do more. They don't want to rock the boat. And if they realize that Christian parents who are looking at this and saying, whoa, this is not good for our kids are out of here, you can bet that they're going to be responsive and start talking about really letting the money follow the child.
I want to talk about this when we come back. Folks, it's the Eric Metaxas Show. This is a very important conversation. Stick around, please. Hey, Albin.
Hey, Eric.
Hey, can I talk to you about Relief Factor?
Please do.
Are you sure?
I'm sure.
I don't want you just to say that.
No, I'm not just saying that. Please.
I want you to take off. You're not my employee right now.
Okay.
You're just a friend. Can I talk to you about Relief Factor?
Please do.
Okay. Relief Factor is something that I take for pain, okay? I have low-level pain. I'm not talking about searing, life-changing, horrible pain. Although, you know what? Now that I mention it, if you have low-level pain like a 2 or a 3 on the scale of 1 to 10,
I think it does change your life because you just do things differently. You're, you know, so I take Relief Factor and I'm recommending it to my audience because if you're just taking it for granted that this is your new life, I would say don't. Relief Factor, these are botanicals. It's not like something toxic like Advil or whatever that's going to mess your liver if you mess up your liver if you take it over and over and over again. You can take this like crazy and it's totally safe. ReliefFactor.com is the website, ReliefFactor.com. Get the quick start pack for $19.95. Within 3 weeks, you will know whether this works. I recommend it, folks. ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com.
Thinking about life insurance? What if you could make one free phone call and learn your best price from nearly a dozen highly rated price competitive companies? Well, that's exactly what happens when you call SelectQuote Life. For example, George is 40. He was getting sky-high quotes from other companies because he takes meds to control his blood pressure. But when I shopped around, I found him a 10-year, $500,000 policy for under $25 a month. I'm SelectQuote agent Dan Savino. And believe me, if SelectQuote isn't shopping for your life insurance, you're probably paying too much.
For your free quote, call 800-519-0447. That's 800-519-0447, 800-519-0447, or go to SelectQuote.com. Since 1985, we shop, you save.
Get full details on the example policy at SelectQuote.com/commercials. Your price could vary depending on your health, issuing company, and other factors. Not available in all states.
Stocks and options trading involves financial risk and is not suitable for all investors.
Hey guys, it's Scott Bauer here, CEO of Prosper Trading Academy. Are you looking for a super hot stock tip? Here at Prosper, we are always looking for exciting opportunities in the markets. And right now, all my students are salivating over this stock we are watching. In fact, I've got this hot stock written down right here, and I'm about to text it to you for free. I just need to know where to send it. Simply text HOT to 48542, and I'll text it to you instantly. How do I know this stock is so hot? Well, I'm a former CBOE market maker for Amazon Options, former vice president of Goldman Sachs, and I have over 25 years of professional trading experience. I'm telling you, this stock is hot. But be warned, the stock may move soon, so you need to claim it before it does. Text HOT to 48542, and I'll text you this hot stock instantly. Text HOT to 48542, and I'll text you this hot stock instantly. Message and data rates may apply.
If you're like most people and you see two gas stations and one sells gas for a little bit less, you go to that one. It just makes sense. Every little bit helps. But here's what's weird, though. Sometimes we save a few pennies here and there and ignore opportunities to save huge money, life-changing money. If you switch to MediShare for your health care, it could be massive savings for you. The typical savings for a family is $500 a month. Think what you could do with that over time. Just doing the math, that's $6,000 a year. That is significant. And yes, people love it, and they love it because it works. It's believers who share each other's healthcare costs. More than 400,000 people are now members of MediShare, and it's growing like crazy. Find out how much you could save and why MediShare is so popular. Go to MediShare.com or call 844-61-BIBLE. That's 844-61-BIBLE. MediShare.com or 844-61-BIBLE.
Hey there, folks. You know, we're talking about education. This is the Eric Metaxas Show. And before we continue the conversation with Teresa Fernan and Mary Rice Hassan about their book, Get Out Now, I should mention that, you know, among colleges out there where I would say you could trust your kid to get a great actual education, Hillsdale is one of them. We have our own website, Metaxas for Hillsdale. .com. If you go to MetaxasForHillsdale.com, you can see a number of the things that Hillsdale is doing. You can register for some free things there. Hillsdale is intent on not only teaching the kids at Hillsdale what is, I would say, you know, the American ideas of liberty and all of those things that I talk about so much on this program, but they're intent on using their influence as a college to bring these ideas to the wider public, which is why I'd love you to go to MetaxasForHillsdale.com and check it out. There's all kinds of ways you can get part of what Hillsdale has to offer. So we return to the authors of Get Out Now, Why You Should Pull Your Child from Public School Before It's Too Late. And again, Mary and Teresa, this is dramatic stuff, but it seems that we've come to this place.
We have indeed. We have. And I think, again, to reiterate the point Teresa was making, there are no do-overs on childhood. And so parents need to just look at it and realize you can't wait. You need to do right now what is good for your child. And out of that conviction will come the solutions, the places where you can go.
You were also talking about, school vouchers. Are legislators dragging their feet? Because I have to say, this is a huge issue. And I know that Betsy DeVos has tried to take this on at the federal level. But this is dramatic. I mean, we do need to give our people options, especially when when this ugly option in the public schools is the main one.
Right. So what's happening with the vouchers is in states that do have voucher programs, they typically limit them by income. They limit them by number. So you might have only 3,000 children in a particular area who are allowed to use vouchers. They limit them in terms of funds. And that's not at all the same thing as a wide open voucher program that acknowledges that parents, as taxpayers, have already put in the money to educate their children. And so they ought to be able to take that money, or at least a portion of it, even given how much states are spending per child, sometimes $10,000, $15,000 per child, even if you gave parents half of that and allowed them to use it, to use tutors, supplemental services, to afford a private school, to homeschool, whatever it might be, parents are going to make a far better decision and they'll get the education they want. But we have a lot of, I hate to say this, but kind of cowardly legislators who are cowed by the education unions and by all the advocacy unions who say you can't disrupt the public schools. And my question to them is are the public schools doing what we want them to do? They're turning out kids who are politically left, who have no faith, who are gender confused, who are activists in the, sort of left-wing sense. Is that really where most legislators, if you put it like that, is that really where they think the taxpayers want their money to go? We need to create alternatives.
Well, it really is. It is shocking that legislators, I mean, I tend not to think of politicians as being courageous people. but in this case, it is up to the people, which is to say the voters, to make them understand you must do this. We demand that you do this. This is why we elected you.
Right. And there's a lot of, how should I put it, obfuscation here when it comes to the dialogue surrounding this. So you can't mention vouchers without people complaining that you're trying to defund the public schools. But actually, if you look at the proposals that are out there, they always preserve the operating costs for the schools, and then they take the money that's the instructional cost per student. So in the end, the public schools are not defunded. They really don't lose. They still have the same amount of money they will need to educate those children, right? And the amount of money that's given to the parents is certainly not the huge chunk that is normally allocated per student, because every single proposal reserves the operating costs. And so that's one of the problems here is that the teachers unions have gotten out ahead of the game in terms of spinning this as a radical proposal to defund the public schools. And then they present it as a matter of injustice to children in poor neighborhoods. And the reality of it is, Eric, that the parents in poor neighborhoods, I mean, you look at parents in, say, the city of Philadelphia, they overwhelmingly support vouchers. Their kids are trapped in these failing schools, and they don't like it.
Listen, let's face it, the Department of Education and the American Public Schools are part of what I now think of as the swamp. They are no longer doing anything except serving their own interests. They don't care about the kids. They always pretend to. But unfortunately, they don't. Demonstrably, they don't. And by the way, it's not even for them to decide whether they care. It's up to the parents to decide whether they're doing what the parents want them to do. And the idea that we've pushed away from this really is horrifying. As I said, it's fundamentally un-American. It certainly goes against faith, which is what makes it un-American. In America, we're supposed to have the freedom to educate our kids as we see fit. And the public schools are saying, no, you don't. And you think, where did they get the right to do that? I don't know what happened, but we need to undo it quickly.
Right. And one of the things parents should realize, too, and this is, again, why it's not possible to change the situation before it's too late for your child, is that not only do you have the advocacy organizations from the outside pressuring in the unions, you have all the professional education associations, National School Boards Association, National Association of School Counselors, elementary schools. All of these have adopted the progressive mindset, and they are pushing an agenda. And so all of that weighs heavily on school boards and on even the local educators when they're trying to figure out which direction they're going to go in. So it's really not possible for a good teacher to push back against the tsunami of pressure that's coming their way. And it's just it's a much more difficult situation than parents might realize.
Right.
So that's why we encourage them to really read what we've collected in this book and just confront the reality and then pray through, what do I do for my child?
This is very, very important. Folks, the book is Get Out Now. We will be right back. This is the Eric Metaxas Show.
Love will never do what you want to do. Why can't this crazy love be mine?
Shield my head in the day of battle. Amen?
Amen.
Based on the true story of an Army chaplain and his wife.
I only stand before you today because Jesus is my rock and because I have a family who loves and believes in me.
One marriage, one family under God.
It made me appreciate family more.
The theme of redemption was just so powerful.
If that couple can find help, I think we all can.
Indivisible, rated PG-13, may be inappropriate for children under 13. In theaters October 26th. For tickets and showtimes, go to indivisiblemovie.com.
With the U.S. Embassy now open in Jerusalem, the world is witnessing the fulfillment of God's covenant with His chosen people. What does this mean for Christians around the world watching these events unfold? In his new book, Earth's Last Empire, best-selling author and prophecy expert Pastor John Hagee unpacks thousands of years of history and biblical prophecy to answer your most pressing questions about the end times. Get Earth's Last Empire, now online and wherever you buy books.
Is gold and silver part of your portfolio? If not, let me tell you why it should be. The value of the dollar continues to diminish, and we're heading into a crucial midterm election that could have a substantial impact on the stock market. Noted economists are warning of a stock market crash. The time is now to secure your wealth with precious metals by calling the Gold Silver Group today at 800-679-0870. The Gold Silver Group is here for you with low prices and fast shipping on all precious metals delivered to your doorstep. Don't wait for politicians to decide your future. Safeguard your wealth from Wall Street, big banks, and corrupt officials. Whether you want a precious metals IRA or a private investment, don't wait for another collapse like 2008. The world is changing. Are you ready? Call the Gold Silver Group now for free information at 800-679-0870. That's 800-679-0870. 800-679-0870. That's 800-679-0870.
Colors on my back, and why does my appearance seem to have a somber tone? Well, there's a reason for the things that I have on. I wear the black for the poor and the beaten down, living in the hopeless, hungry side of town. I wear it for the prisoner who has long paid for his crime, but is there because he's a victim of the time.
Hey, folks, it's the Eric Metaxas Show. I'm talking to the authors of a new book titled Get Out Now, Why You Should Pull Your Child from Public Schools Before It's Too Late. Unfortunately, folks, I agree with the thesis of this book. The public schools in this country, for the most part, dramatically, have departed from what their role was meant to be. When we instituted public schools in America, it was what's called in loco parentis. It was parents didn't have the time to educate their kids, so they hired people to do it for them. And those people had better do it the way the parents wanted. There was no bureaucracy that's going to tell the parents we know better. Now there is. It's a major problem. We need to stand against it. One of the things we can do is to get our kids out of the public schools. But Mary Rice Hassan and Teresa Farnan, we've just got a couple of minutes. What else can folks do? I assume in your book, Get Out Now, you have some prescriptions.
In terms of alternatives, yes. The alternatives are wide open compared to even 10 years ago. So you've got homeschooling, you've got Christian schools, you've got faith-based schools of other sorts, you've got private schools. But the most exciting things that I'm seeing are the combinations, the hybrids, the internet combined with the tutor, the co-ops, the things like that that don't require much in terms of monetary investment oftentimes. It just requires a little bit more creativity and thinking and getting together with other like-minded people. And that, again, is where the local churches and community groups, people of shared values and like minds, can get together and say, all right, the public schools, we may like some of the people in there, but they're not doing the right thing by our kids. What are the alternatives that we can create?
Right. It's dramatic, yeah.
And Eric, I would add, too, that for anyone who's involved in any kind of youth ministry or catechesis with kids, you need to read this book just so that they need to read this book just so they know exactly what is going on there, because there's a huge disconnect, I think, in faith formation between where the catechists and the religious educators and the youth ministers think kids are and where they actually are. And so if you walk through the initial chapters on gender, where we break down exactly what these kids are being taught about the human person, it's going to be very evident that these kids are being shaped in an entirely different understanding of the person. And so even if you're not a parent who's looking concretely for specific information about what your next step is, if you're someone who's just approaching this from the perspective of being active in your church, you need to know this, because we're not doing religious education well enough to counter this.
Well, okay, that's important. And I have seen this in my life and in the life of my daughter. I'm shocked at how poorly churches and even Christian schools do this. They themselves have been affected by the culture and don't seem, in many cases, to be up to the challenge. We're out of time. Mary and Teresa, God bless you, and thank you so much for this book.
Thank you, Eric. Thank you for having us on.
Folks, get a copy of the book, please. This is very important. Get Out Now is the title. Get Out Now. Unfortunately, I agree that now is the time. Dramatic stuff, but step it up. God will show you.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, deliver the truth, whatever the cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never before seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, deliver the truth, whatever the cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to salemnow.com. Salemnow.com.